The Old Testament reading is taken from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and later verse 19 to the end. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen.
The second reading is taken from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pauline and Julie. That was lovely. Lovely readings. Let's pray for Ian now, Lord. Just thank you for the words that you've put on Ian's heart this week. And I pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us today. May it bear fruit that brings you glory. Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you. As Andrew says, thank you to Pauline and to Julie for those readings today. Wonderful readings for Palm Sunday. Psalm 118 is very much a sort of Palm Sunday psalm. Not officially one of the Songs of Ascents, that's 120 to 134, but it's clearly the same sort of idea, that it's about going up to worship the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. It's a call to praise God, as Pauline read verses 1 to 2. To open the gates of righteousness so that I can enter and give thanks to the Lord. And then later on, verses that get quoted in the New Testament, verse 22, for example, seems at first sight to be about the cold, hard stones of the temple building, doesn't it? The physical stones. But that same verse is quoted by Jesus on Palm Sunday as he teaches the people at the temple in Jerusalem, Matthew 21, Mark 12, a little after our reading, Luke 20, and so on. And it's also quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 4 and in Peter's first letter, chapter 2. And in all those quotes, the stones represent the people of God, the people of Israel in the house of God. And the capstone, the one at the top in the centre, is taken as prophetic about Jesus himself, the way that he's the stone that, first of all, was rejected by the builders in the quarry or whatever. The Jewish leaders are those builders. And yet, that same stone that they rejected is given central, chosen, messianic status by the Lord himself, by God. So my title for what I want to say today, the question for us today, is who is this? Who really is the one riding into Jerusalem on a donkey? Verse 24 in the psalm, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That you might find that familiar. It's the opening greeting in the Church of England's morning prayer service. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I find that verse a wonderfully simple way of claiming the day for the Lord. The day that the Lord, the Creator, has made. He made the sunrise. He's blessed the hours that we're given in every day. So let's rejoice today. Let's be glad in God. Let's praise God in and through the day that he's given us. And then verse 26, which is quoted in the second reading that Julie read, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, quoted by the crowds as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Who is this? They might have been asking. They knew their psalms, they knew their scriptures, these Jews. And they're using that verse from the psalm as a blessing of the coming Messiah, recognizing him for who he is at last. And then actually in the other Gospels, Jesus quotes that same verse again in judgment as he leaves the temple at the end of Palm Sunday, the end of Matthew chapter 23. He's been declaring seven woes over Jerusalem, over the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. He calls them, you hypocrites, you blind guides. And again, you might well ask, who is this? The Pharisees have failed to recognize him as their Messiah, their Savior. And so finally in Matthew 23, he says, look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, and here comes the quote, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, Jesus is coming this time, entering Jerusalem as Saviour. When he comes again, he will come as judge. He will come and judge those who refuse and reject him. Thank you, Julie, for reading Mark 11, 1 to 11. It's actually, of all the Gospels, it's the simplest version of the Palm Sunday story. It's the shortest of them. Matthew and Luke are longer. And in Matthew 21, 10, the crowds ask the question, who is this? That's my title question for today. And it's actually a question that pops up again and again in the Gospel stories. Here in Matthew, the crowds answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Earlier on, when they saw him riding on a donkey, as we heard in our reading, they recognized that that's the fulfillment of a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Your king is a messianic title, the son of David, the successor to Israel's great king. And in other places, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they give a variety of answers. And then he puts them right on the spot personally. He says, who do you say that I am? And it's always been a key question. Do you treat him as just another prophet, as perhaps the Muslims do? Or do you treat him as just a good man and a good teacher and so on, as many British people do when you ask them? Or even perhaps do you treat him as someone from a story from long ago, someone who probably didn't even exist, as a lot of people today might say? There's a whole range of answers, and the way that you answer that question determines the attitude that you take towards Jesus, how you rate him, how important you think he is. And it's a question for us in every age, in every century, in every generation. Who is this person riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? And how will you greet him? Will you hail him as your Lord and King, entering into your life as the crowds did on Palm Sunday? Spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all, as the hymn has it. Or will you treat him with disdain, as the Jewish leaders did, and as many people in Britain, frankly, do today, and ignore him or insult him? Will you even cry out for his death, as the crowds did at the urging of the priests only a few days later, and as many secularists and new atheists do even today? In our reading from Mark 11, Jesus is at the peak of his earthly ministry as he enters Jerusalem. I love the way that he predicts exactly what the disciples are going to find. They're going to find a colt tied up, and they're to untie it and bring it to him. And Jesus even predicts what the people standing near the colt are going to say. They're going to question the disciples. And you disciples, you should answer like this. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows the manner in which he's going to die. And some people roar his praise and approval, but others roar his curse and destruction. And Jesus has always divided the crowds into those who accept and exalt him and those who reject and deny him. Today and every time we read the Gospels, I think Jesus speaks to us too. He addresses us too. Who is this? Who do you say that I am? Am I your Lord and Saviour? I'm going to end this talk just by praying a prayer of commitment now. And if you'd like to welcome Jesus into your life and into your heart as your Lord, then please would you just pray this prayer in your heart along with me. So here it is. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so sorry that I have not loved you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Perhaps just take a moment now to recall anything particular that's on your mind. Lord God, I understand now who Jesus is and why he died. And I know that I do not deserve it. But because of Jesus' death on the cross for me, I ask you to forgive me. From now on, please give me the desire to obey you and help me to follow Jesus, whatever the cost. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.